It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. Kate comes back Monday. Wisconsin Public Radio is launching a new project called Wisconsin. We're collecting listeners' questions and answering them. It's a pretty simple request. We want to know, what do you wonder about Wisconsin, its people, or its culture? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at WPR Mornings if you want to ask your question now. We've got a link to the form online, too, when you visit the morning show page at WPR.org. So the first Wisconsin story we have for you offers a nostalgic look at a retro TV show. Here's Wisconsin Life producer Maureen McCollum.
Many of us were obsessed with certain PBS shows as kids. Zoom, 321 Contact, Reading Rainbow. I could keep going, but today, let's talk about one particular show, Story Lords. I did not grow up with Story Lords. I hadn't even heard of it until my in-law, Nick Drozdowicz, told me about rediscovering the show at a bar in Seattle.
And right as things were starting to clear out, for some reason, I just remembered this show I used to watch as a kid on Wisconsin Public Television, which happened to be Story Lords. And I thought, man, I wonder if that show is as weird as I remember it being.
Nick and the bartender pulled up the show on YouTube and watched all 12 episodes that night.
And it was like 115% as strange as I remember it being.
I mentioned this story to two coworkers. Tara Schillard and Lydia Roussos freaked out over the memory of Story Lords. But they calmed down once I interviewed them.
I wanted a glitter glove.
Yep, the glitter gloves were like a big deal. And I remember the bike trainer specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lydia, Tara, and Nick are like many Wisconsin students who grew up watching Story Lords in the 80s and 90s.
Thunder and lightning, trumpets and drums. Readers rejoice, the Story Lord comes.
The sci-fi adventure was created for students in second, third, and fourth grades to reinforce reading lessons.
When this ring glows, sit on yon bikatron and pedal as fast as you can.
Story Lords aired in classrooms and on PBS stations across the country. It's about siblings Norbert and Mandy. They have to save another planet by solving reading puzzles.
Dandelions!
If they don't, the evil Thorzul will turn everyone into stone.
What do you think, Milk Breath? Wouldn't he make a cute little stone doorstop?
Spoiler alert, Norbert and Mandy foil him every time.
When I was a kid, I found it to be kind of edgy. There was something that seemed like a little dark, like people watch SVU or like the X-Files now, and that, I guess, Story Lords was my version of that when I was like 8.
Nearly 25 years after watching the show, Nick, Tara, and Lydia all had lingering questions about Story Lords.
How did this show get made? Show me the sausage.
To get to the bottom of this, I hopped on my own magical exercise bike and transported to the mystical land of Menominee, Wisconsin. That's where Story Lords was made in the mid-1980s, and that's where I talked with Ed Jacober, the show's producer and director. He says a committee of researchers shaped the show's educational strategy. Ed filmed the show around town.
Thorzul's lair. Okay, let's go to the inside of Mabel Tainter.
All our extras we get from the theater department. The kids were just the kids.
Superfan Lydia had another question for the bad guy Thorzul. They wanted to know.
I just want to know how he got involved. Did he have, like, associations with UW Stout at the time?
The first time I heard of it, Dave Conyer called me and he said, Larry, have you still got your chin whiskers? And I said, well, yeah, why? He said, well, we're doing this reading program and there's a bad guy in it and we think he needs your chin whiskers. And I said, well, my chin whiskers, I come along with them. And so I came down and looked at the first script.
That's Larry Laird, a.k.a. Thorzul. Larry went to UW Stout, where he discovered his love of acting. He was involved in the community theater when Story Lords executive producer asked him to try out for the show.
Being dyslexic, I'm willing to do just about anything I can do to help kids read. I looked at that and I was just fell in love with it immediately.
Tanya Tiffany landed the role of the hero Mandy after taking drama classes in her hometown of Eau Claire.
I think I got the part because I was older than the age of the characters, so I could read and I could do all of the things, but I was also really tiny.
Tanya says she loved working on the show with Ed and Larry.
But yeah, no, I remember sort of long days, and like running to the shed and putting on the gloves and getting on the magic exercise bike, which takes you to the magic reading land.
Lydia had one more question for their favorite character. This is where I should probably mention that Lydia dressed as Thorzul for Halloween in high school.
Do people recognize him out and about? Are people like, oh my God, excuse me, sir, you Thorzul?
Yes. Probably one of the quickest ways to elicit that response was if I laugh at something.
As for Tanya, she says no one recognized her for playing Mandy.
But once people realize that I'm the kid from Story Lords, they never have a hard time. No one ever says, oh gosh, you don't look like that at all anymore. It's always sort of, oh yeah, that's absolutely you, with hopefully slightly better clothes and a slightly less bad haircut.
While Tanya was not thrilled with Mandy's wardrobe, other costumes from Story Lords stick out. Here's superfan Tara asking about Thorzul's costume.
I would want to know how his costume came about. He had, like, this box-shaped gown, and he was on a motorcycle.
Yeah, it was like hip-hop Darth Vader.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I suspect it was Star Wars, right? I mean, the Darth Vader.
Yeah, I think so. There's a little bit of that. I know my wife did some of them. Yeah.
It's black material, and it's three layers of cardboard. I still have it. It's still wearable.
Superfan Nick had a question for the cast and crew.
What do you think those guys are doing, like, right now?
Here's director Ed Jacober.
Where am I now? Oh, I'm still working at Stout. Now I do instructional program here and administer the video streaming service here, too.
And Larry Laird?
I'm retired from whatever it is I've done. I've been probably self-employed most of my life. Lucky enough to do some traveling and get grandkids.
As for Tanya Tiffany.
So I teach art history at UW-Milwaukee, and my specialization is 17th century Spain.
And since all the superfans got to ask questions, I had one of my own. What is the legacy of Story Lords?
I think it's just unusual and surprising, and I'm very pleased it's still around and people are even aware of it. Mm-hmm. Lots of people love it. And I don't understand.
Yeah. And if I think about it too much, I'll choke up right here. Because you never know when you throw that pebble into the pond where the ripples are going to go. And that was one of them that I was intensely proud of being involved in this. Reading has always been a blessing to me and a place that I can go to. And so I want that for everybody.
I think a lot of the lasting legacy is due to nostalgia that we all have for our childhoods.
It draws back to the fun things that you remember from school.
This big TV would be wheeled in and plugged in. It must have been sort of an event in a way that I'm sure it's not anymore. Presumably there's so much programming now, right, that there won't be one show that all of the kids of a certain age end up watching.
This story was put together for a new project through Wisconsin Life. It's called Why Sconson? Just like Tara, Lydia, and Nick in this story, you ask the questions, we find the answers. Find more about this project and send us your questions at WPR.org/Wisconsin. That's W-H-Y, Sconson. Get it? Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Through Wisconsin, you, Wisconsin Public Radio's listener, send us questions and we answer them. The project lets you be directly involved in shaping and creating the stories you hear on WPR. Wisconsin is a project we're taking on across the organization, and it's dedicated to you, the audience member. With Wisconsin, we're putting the public in Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute your own questions. What do you wonder about Wisconsin, its people, or its culture? Visit WPR.org/Wisconsin. We're sticking with what makes Wisconsin the place to be this hour as we welcome State Tourism Secretary Stephanie Klett. She's leaving office with the new governor, but not before we talk about the opportunities winter in Wisconsin brings. That's ahead on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend, our first weekend in the first full month of winter. And as good Wisconsinites, we're going to celebrate the fun that winter can bring with the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism, Stephanie Klett. What's your favorite winter activity in Wisconsin? Do you stay close to home, or do you trek to a different corner of the state to enjoy the season? And is your town famous for some offbeat winter sport? Maybe people flock to your community for typical activities in the snow. We'd like to hear your stories, your ideas of what winter fun looks like in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Stephanie Klett is Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Tourism. Stephanie Klett, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Dean. Get ready for some perkiness.
Oh, good. Well, what else would we expect at this time of the day, of course? So, Stephanie, you've been an ambassador for Wisconsin pretty much your whole adult life. You were Miss Wisconsin. You were host of the Discover Wisconsin TV and radio series, and, of course, for the past 8 years, the head of the Department of Tourism, also known as, branded as Travel Wisconsin. So with all that experience, I've got to ask, what's your favorite thing to do in winter?
Well, you know, it really does depend on what you're looking for and your mood, because there are times I want to get away, I want to be not surrounded by a lot of people, I want a fireplace, hiking trails. So Door County for me is one of the ultimate winter getaways. But I have to tell you too, Bayfield, you know, mm-hmm. I'm from Beloit, so that drive to Bayfield is almost 300 miles.
Wow.
But doing the ice road to Madeline Island, and you're actually driving across frozen Lake Superior, it's eerie and wonderful at the same time. You know, and with bed and breakfast, like the old Rittenhouse Inn,
yeah.
You know, you just can't go wrong. But if you want something exciting, you know, for me, it is all about Granite Peak Ski Area. So Wausau, I think, is truly one of the great wintertime destinations if you are looking for family fun, adventure, being active. You know, they've got Granite Peak Ski Area, which has been around for over 70 years old. It's one of the nation's oldest ski hills. They've got 75 runs, 4 terrain parks, 2 high-speed chairlifts. They have the largest vertical descent in the state. In the winter, they have live music. They do bonfires. It is a party atmosphere. So, plus, aside from Granite Peak, Wausau's got 9-mile forest recreation area. So that's 20 miles yeah. of groomed cross-country ski trails. And it's one of the few places that's lighted at night for nighttime skiing. And they've got a heated chalet. They've got a ski patrol on site. So you can't beat the Wausau area in central Wisconsin in the winter for adventure.
Well, yeah, and Wisconsin, I mean, we're not the Rocky Mountains. We don't have any mountain ranges, but we do have got that downhill skiing. How are ski hills around the state coping with the reduced rain snowfall we've had this winter? And actually, we've had some snowfall that's been knocked down by rain as well in other parts of the state.
Right. They're doing well right now because, you know, the technology is so good, and most of the, and we've got more than 30 ski areas, most of them make their own snow. And so they've got full snow, and that's why I think the TravelWisconsin.com snow conditions report is really important. This is my shameless plug for
Wisconsin
Department of Tourism. But, you know, your question is good, because when it's 40 degrees out, yeah. you know, and the rain has melted all the snow in your yard, are you really thinking, oh, the ski hill's open? So you can go to the snow conditions report, where we have over 100 reporters in all 72 counties, and they work with everyone from state parks and trail groomers and snowmobile clubs and ski areas, and they update the report as conditions change literally in live time. And so it was, we just did a big refresher on our snow conditions report. So it'll help you navigate between skiing, cross country, downhill, snowmobiling conditions. The conditions report also includes like the current temperatures, the 3-day weather forecast. And I love it because it links visitors, to all the directories with like the events going on in the area you're interested, activities, accommodations, dining options. So it's not just about saying, oh, there's 3 inches of snow. This report is all-encompassing, So just go to travelwisconsin.com and click on the snow conditions report.
Stephanie Klett is Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism, unofficially the head cheerleader for Wisconsin tourism. I'd like to ask our listener, what part of Wisconsin is best in the winter? Is your town famous for something different or odd in the winter? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, I never learned to downhill ski, but I did get the opportunity at a ski hill, Christy Mountain and Bruce, as a matter of fact, to do some snow tubing. Are there other places around the state where we can do that sort of thing?
Oh, surely you jest. Are you kidding me? I think right away of Key Weston and Sunburst. It's believed, and our research, we haven't found anything bigger in the world. There could be, but they have the most snow tubing hills and runs, I should say, than anywhere else in the world. And so it is so much fun. And like you said, I want to encourage anyone of any age, if you're not a skier and you're not as active as you want to be, hit some of our snow tubing hills. Because, one, I don't care if it's 5 degrees below zero, you are going to sweat after just one run down the hill. Yeah. The first time I ever did it, there was a five-year-old next to me and an 83-year-old great-grandfather. And they both screamed. I screamed. It was a blast. You can catch some serious wind. So there are great snow tubing hills everywhere. We've talked about Wausau a little earlier. 15 minutes away from Granite Peak, you're going to find Sylvan Tubing Hill. And they have their longest run is about 1,200 feet, and that makes it the longest tubing run in the state. So it's just, 15 minutes from Granite Peak. So go skiing, go snow tubing, try it all.
Stephanie Klett, we've been talking about winter outdoor activities, and that fun doesn't have to stop when the sun goes down. There are some outdoor activities available at night, even by candlelight. How does that work?
Oh, my gosh. Our state has some of the most beautiful state parks, and they started this, I don't even know how many years ago, candlelight skis and candlelight hikes and then candlelight snowshoeing. So our state parks, and each state park does it just a little bit differently, but they light the trails with luminaries or tiki torches, and depending on the trail conditions, you can snowshoe, ski, or hike. It is such a peaceful, beautiful way to see the beauty of our state parks in a whole new way. And, usually you're going to have bonfires afterwards, hot chocolate. They do snacks at the end. But it is a way to really be silent. And then when it's all over, it's kind of like a party. Everyone talks about the experience, and you meet folks from all over the Midwest. So if you haven't done a candlelight ski, hike, or snowshoe at one of our state parks, please put it on your list. If you're not a fast walker, it doesn't matter. If you don't have snowshoes, a lot of the places rent them out. And a lot of times you don't even need the snowshoes. You can just do the hike with your boots on. And what I like, too, is it's affordable. Yeah. Our state parks are such an affordable asset, and just come as you are and off you go.
Stephanie, with about a minute to respond, one of the biggest digital stories we've ever done at WPR.org, which got reach from all over the world, was a piece that Rich Kramer, our reporter in Eau Claire, did on the Apostle Island ice caves, where he took some beautiful pictures that just caught fire on the internet. What's the situation with the ice caves? How do you get out there in the winter?
Well, and that's a long answer, so I know we're wrapping up here, but they're only accessible in cold winters. So that's been about two times in the last decade or so. The sea caves are along Bayfield's lakeshore, so they're accessible only by boat. But when it freezes over, it's accessible by foot.
Yeah.
So you take quite a hike in open winds to get there, and it is worth it. It's one of the most stunning things I've ever seen in my life.
How does one find out, if you can get out there or not?
The best way is to call the Bayfield Chamber.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're getting updates. If it's getting close to time, they're getting updates hourly, daily. So right now, it doesn't look like, you know, they're opening anytime soon.
Okay.
So well, that's your best way.
Something to watch for. You hope for cold weather. Stephanie Klett. Stephanie Klett is Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism. She stays with us as we talk about making the most of winters here in Wisconsin. What part of Wisconsin is best in the winter? Do you spend time along a lake or on the frozen surface? Do you hike on the hills or maybe prefer to take a lift and slide all the way down? Give us your story. Give us your idea of what's fun in Wisconsin in the wintertime. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings or email ideas at WPR.org. We'd love to hear from you this morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. Kate is back on Monday. It's our Wisconsin Weekend segment, and today we're talking about all the winter outdoor fun that can be had in our state. And we'd love to hear from you. What did you love about winter when you were growing up? Do you see the same activities now or do the same activities now, or have your preferences changed? Maybe you take your kids on the same adventures you enjoyed. 800-642-1234 is your number to call. Ideas at WPR.org is our email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest this morning, Stephanie Klett, Wisconsin's Secretary of the Department of Tourism. Stephanie, what if you didn't grow up ice fishing or skiing? Because those activities have two barriers for people who didn't grow up doing them. They're not exactly easy, and also you have to be out in the cold when you're doing them. So how do you get people past the intimidation factor?
No, you know what? That is actually a really good question, because some people just simply were never taught and, you know, didn't have the opportunity. So what I love is that every year Wisconsin does a winter free fishing weekend. Mm. And so that's happening January 19th and 20th. So you can fish almost anywhere in the state without a license or a trout stamp. And what I like is, it includes all inland waters, the Mississippi River, and the Wisconsin side of the Great Lakes, which, by the way, I've always wondered, like, what if you're out on Lake Michigan, and how do you know when it becomes the Michigan part and the Wisconsin part? So be careful.
Yes.
But really, the purpose of this is to teach people how to ice fish. And, you know, I never thought I'd have a desire to do it. And back in my Discover Wisconsin days, they're like, hey, you're going to ice fish on Lake Winnebago.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, boy, you know, it's going to be freezing.
Yep.
It was so much fun. The sense of community, the ice chanties, it was just terrific. So with the winter free fishing weekend, a lot of our state parks have fishing clinics, so they will teach you. And they have tackle loaner programs. So if you need to borrow equipment, rods, bobbers, hooks, lines, sinkers, you can. So visit the DNR website to learn more and see if there's a free fishing weekend event near you.
I think there are more cards played in ice shanties than in casinos in the wintertime.
You may be right. So, you know, and the technology is pretty amazing, too, because you can absolutely tune out. But there really is a spirit of camaraderie that I did not know existed. I kind of had the stereotype of there was a person freezing with that bucket and a fishing rod, and there they were. And although there are the fishing purists that they still do that, it really is a whole sense of community.
Speaking about ice fishing, this is something I didn't know until Thanksgiving. We had a family gathering, and my niece mentioned that she was coaching the local high school ice fishing team, and they actually have high school ice fishing teams now, which I think is pretty cool.
Stop it.
No,
I have never heard of that.
Well, there you are.
Oh, my gosh, I learned something new. This is pretty cool.
Happy to help. For the diehard indoorsy types, what are some fun activities you'd recommend for the winter?
Well, you know, we have so many great art museums, but let me give you some things a little out of the blue that most people wouldn't think of immediately in winter. One of them, Cave of the Mounds. You know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
time. So many people go to the Cave of the Mounds as a kid, and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember going there, but I haven't been back. Go back. Winter is a great time to take the guided tour. You know, it's just 30 minutes west of Madison. It's a national natural landmark discovered by accident in 1939 when quarry workers were blasting near the cave. Joe Klimczak, who is the general manager of Cave of the Mounds, does a spectacular job with his team. This cave, it's just first class, and it's got a little something for everyone. The cave, it's always 50 degrees. So, you know, in the winter, that feels great.
Yeah, you bring your lawn chairs, your suntan lotion. You're fine.
Not here, but you can bring a lawn chair somewhere else. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, aside from the one-hour guided tour, which is so cool with the stalactites and stalagmites and, you know, just the history of everything, they have a lot of stuff for kids. You know, you can sift for gemstones and fossils at their gemstone mine and fossil dig. You can see minerals and gems and geodes up close at the Museum Rock Shop. In fact, in my office in Madison, I have a bunch of geodes. They have a discovery center. They do winter enrichment programs for kids. So it's not just like you go there, hey, here's a cave tour, bye. It's really active. But you did mention the lawn chair. So I got to send you to Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
You know, Wisconsin Dells was really, for a long time, a late spring, summer, early fall destination.
Yep.
It is four seasons now, and that's the advent of the indoor water park. But at the Wilderness Hotel and Golf Resort, they have a lot of great resort hotels with water parks. But they have a foil tin roof. So that roof does everything from allow you to get a tan in February to growing tropical plants. And what I like is, you know, it has the whole Northwoods theme. They have the see-through dome that kind of makes you feel like you're in the tropics. Inside, they have four indoor pools. You know, then in summer, they also have the four outdoor pools. And together, they equal the size of 12 football fields. So this isn't a little pool to bring the kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's home to America's largest wave pool. But not far away from the wilderness is the Kalahari Resort. And that is, you know, the state's largest indoor water parks. So, you know, inside you can float on the lazy river. They have this master blaster water roller coaster. They have a pair of indoor looping water slides that take you above the roof of the water park. You know, they have a ropes course and bowling alley and great restaurants and go-karts and the Ferris wheel inside. So that is a great thing to do. And then, of course, Wisconsin Dells is now, with being a four-season destination, you can take in a live show or theater performance year-round. And so they have the Rick and Susan Wilcox Magic Show. I love them. Mm-hmm. It's a 90-minute show at the Rick Wilcox Magic Theater. It's just really cool in the winter. Plus, I believe Wisconsin Dells gets overlooked sometimes. I think it's a foodie destination. You know, everything from the Dell Bar, used to be Jimmy's Dell Bar, you know, which is kind of that old-fashioned supper club, mm-hmm. to Fields of the Wilderness Premier Steakhouse. They have some really great food year-round. So put the Dells on your list if you kind of want a summer getaway, but, you know, don't have the time for a week vacation somewhere very warm.
Stephanie Kletz, Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism, join us, 800-642-1234, with your what to do in winter for fun story. Abby has joined us from Mosinee. Abby, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I work at the Solid Waste Department in Ringgold, and we paired with the Central Wisconsin Off-Road Cycling Coalition, and they are creating like a 10-mile off-road cycling, like single track trail. So it's open during the winter time. I personally haven't been on it, but in the fall we've had a lot of cyclers, and even in the winter so far, And so I was hearing you talk about the Wausau area, and we're located in Ringgold, which is just east of Wausau. And what you do is just pull into the solid waste department driveway, but before you get into the facility, there's a parking lot on the right-hand side. And, yeah, so anyone's welcome. It's open to the public, and it's right by the Mountain Bay Trail, too. So if you don't want to do any intense, single-track cycling, there's a nice trail nearby.
So single-track cycling, are you using the fat tires then?
Yes, in the wintertime for sure. And then in the summertime, I'm sure you can use just like a normal mountain bike.
But it's available in the winter. Interesting. Bike trail. I hadn't thought of that.
Stephanie? I'm so glad you called with that, because I never would have believed this, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but fat tire biking in the winter has become huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was not aware of this one in Mosinee. So I'm going to put this one on the list because, with the Birkebeiner and things like that, they have a lot of winter racing, also Walworth County. But I didn't know about Central Wisconsin, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Abby. You just mentioned the Birkebeiner. That, of course, is a pretty big deal in northern Wisconsin, annual event for both skiers from around the world and spectators going from Cable to Hayward. What's the big draw there as far as either participating in it or watching it?
Really everything. The American Birkebeiner, known as the Birkie, is the largest cross-country ski race in North America. It's prestigious. The course is so intense. It's, 52 kilometers. But athletes from around the world come to this. It's very coveted. And there are 12,000 skiers. And think of how small Cable and Hayward are.
Yeah.
And then think of 12,000 people and hosting them. So it's this crazy party atmosphere, but with world-class athletes. And so they've expanded, so it's not just, the big Birkebeiner race. They have a race that's half that length. They have race for kids, kind of fun races. So you get a little bit of everything, but there's still that hometown feel, even though there's tens of thousands of people making it happen, competing and watching. So that's another one. I'm not a cross-country skier. I do it a little bit, but I'm not good. I'll never compete. And it is so much fun to watch these athletes and be in downtown Hayward and hear people speaking German and, or Italian. It's a really, really neat event.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Tourism Secretary Stephanie Kletch. She's our guest to share fun things to do in winter in Wisconsin. And it's our Winter in Wisconsin Weekend series. Sorry. Are you waiting for more snow to get outside? Maybe you just need more on the ground to snowmobile or ski. Are you anxious to head out and explore? Let us know. I'm Dean Collin, back in for Kate Archer Kent. You're tuned to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Dean Collin back here in for Kate Archer Kent. It's Wisconsin Weekend, and our focus is winter fun. Stephanie Klett is the Secretary of the Department of Tourism for the state of Wisconsin. Stephanie Klett, let's get into it some more. What's the Hudson Hot Air Affair? That's an event that's coming up.
I love this event. That is happening February 1st through 3rd, so there's no reason not to put it on your calendar now and get there. But this is the largest hot air balloon festival in the Midwest. And what is so cool about it is they do a mass ascension of more than 30 hot air balloons above the St. Croix River Valley. So just, a lot of times in winter we have those gray skies. So just seeing these colorful, beautiful hot air balloons, and 30 of them is a lot. Ascending over the St. Croix River Valley is so cool. They do a special moon glow ascension at night. It is so cool. They do hot air balloon rides. They have fireworks, kids' activities.
They do something called the Up and Away 5K Run Walk. They do kind of wacky events like smoosh boarding, which is an event where teams of four people are strapped into one set of homemade wooden skis, and they have to walk in unison through a figure eight course to the finish line. It's a blast to watch.
That sounds like an event that was invented in a bar.
It does, doesn't it? And that's what it looks like. And my favorite thing about the whole weekend every year is the Torchlight Parade on Friday night, because these hot air balloon pilots who are coming in from all across America blast their burners as they ride through downtown Hudson. So it's just a really neat thing to see. And it's also cool to talk to these hot air balloon pilots. That's a neat thing about the event is when they land or before they go up, you can talk to them, and they're coming in, again, from around the country. And they'll tell you about why they keep coming back to this event, what makes that area special, and it'll make you very proud to be from Wisconsin when you hear them talk.
Well, on the opposite side of the state from Wisconsin, there's a national snow sculpting competition in Lake Geneva, right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm glad you brought it up, because this is one of my favorites in the winter. January 26th through February 3rd. It's called Winterfest and the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. It's right in downtown Lake Geneva. So it's in the center of it all. And you've got just the best snow sculptors in America. And so they have these, you know, different teams from around the country. There's 15 teams. And they are competing for the national title. This is the real deal. The public, you just get to watch them transform these huge blocks of snow into works of art. And I was there last year, and it was everything from elephants that look real to flowers to one artist had done an abstract of Donald Trump's lips. And so it was actually, I mean, you're going to see whimsy. You're going to see stuff that floors you. You're like, how they do it, I don't know. But, you know, aside from the snow sculpting competition, it's Winterfest. So they have helicopter rides over Lake Geneva, magic shows, human dog sled races. But what's really exciting about this year, and it has not opened officially yet, but Visit Lake Geneva will definitely be your key to knowing this. There's something called ice castles, and every year only six of them are built in the United States. One of them this year, opening soon, is in downtown Lake Geneva. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't a little ice castle. This weighs 20 million pounds.
Wow.
And they grow 10,000 icicles a day to make this happen. It's stunning. Check it out online, and your mouth will drop open. So to have this in Lake Geneva and to be, you know, it'll be there for the U.S. National Snow Sculpting Competition. It's massive. Lit up LED lights. They even have kind of like a sled through it that you can take a sled ride, sit in the throne. It's amazing.
Stephanie Klett, kind enough to join us on her final day on the job as tourism secretary, as she's been with the Walker administration for 8 years. In 15 seconds, Stephanie, what's next for you?
What's next for me is I'm heading to Cincinnati, Wisconsin, and I'm decompressing with the Dominican Sisters and doing a personal retreat with no phones, no TVs, no screens at all, no computers, and I'm going to take a little break.
Good for you. I think you've earned it. Stephanie Klett is our Secretary of Tourism for Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dean.
As our new administration begins, you can listen live on Monday, January 7th. Tony Evers becomes the 46th governor of Wisconsin. WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will host live coverage of the inauguration beginning at 11 as Tony Evers takes the oath of office and addresses the state to become for the first time as governor. That's 11 on Wisconsin Public Radio on Monday morning. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about longing for home.
Moving away from Wisconsin can be an exciting adventure for some people. For others, it can be a tough and lonely journey. Writer and Wisconsin native June Melby reflects on the time she moved out west and how a vintage jacket helped her feel a little less homesick.
I'd been living in Los Angeles for a couple of years, but it still didn't feel like home. People were different from what I'm used to back in the Midwest. People bragged about themselves, openly, which came as a shock. Women dressed like teenage boys. Men groomed their hair with more products than I'd ever owned. And everyone checked their reflections in store windows as they walked past. I was lonely, and I was homesick. Then, a gift arrived from my mother. A blue corduroy FFA jacket. Future Farmers of America, said the emblem, with Waupaca, Wisconsin in gold, embroidered letters on the back. Retro clothing was all the rage in Hollywood, so even though I had actually never been a member of Future Farmers, I wanted that jacket. Zip front, pockets, and a collar designed back in the 1930s and never updated. Perfect for a night out in California when the desert air begins to chill. And that's when I noticed. People recognized that jacket. Well, not all people, but certain people. Namely, anyone who was from the Midwest, or grew up in a small town, or came from Wisconsin. They'd find me at coffee houses and comedy clubs. Are you from Wisconsin? Yep, me too. At parties and theater lobbies. Were you an FFA? No, but my father was a farmer. My dad was too. My mom must have heard me say I wanted one, so she put an ad in the local paper and got two replies. A guy drove out from town to give the jacket to my mom. He wouldn't even take any money, she said. I offered, but he was tickled that someone even wanted it. But it's the Midwest, and my mother didn't believe you should take anything for free. We owned a miniature golf course, and she traded the jacket for 10 free game cards. He was thrilled, she said. Every time I wore the blue FFA jacket, I'd meet someone from the Midwest. They'd suddenly appear out of the crowd, and we would talk about how odd it felt to be in Los Angeles. Isn't it funny they call this winter? I know, it's 55 degrees. My landlord's wearing a parka. At Walgreens near me, sprayed their windows white to make it look like snow. We'd roll our eyes and laugh, oh no, and shake our heads. Total strangers instantly close, like long-lost, distant cousins talking about our hometowns. What we shared was the secret of the blue corduroy jacket, but there was something else we shared, the knowledge of what we had each left behind, what we had given up to pursue our dreams. At a certain point, we'd look at each other and sigh, well, yes, I guess I'd better go. Then we'd wish each other good luck on the next audition, meeting, or attempt at landing a better day job. I hope you make it, I would say in a whisper. You too, they would whisper back. Then they melted back into the crowd and into the warm winter night.
June Melby is a writer and performer who lives just across the border in Iowa. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
Maureen McCollum is the producer of Wisconsin Life. I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. Kate returns Monday. It's been my pleasure to be with you on the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.